The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made you known to those whom you gave. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I have come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Lord, as we remember the sacrifices of many through all the wars for our nation, we also remember that they did not love war. They loved peace. And Father, we ask that as we learn from these who have sacrificed their lives, we may learn lessons that will transform our lives. May you be honored in the words that are spoken this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day to remember. It is a day to remember of sacrifice. In the gospel, in the readings, we heard of sacrifice, suffering. It is a day to remember sacrifice, the scarring and the purposeful shared lives of those who died in service to their country. For many, Memorial Day is a day for picnics, ball games, and the first day at the beach, and I love all of that. But this morning, we get to gather to honor and to remember those who have given their lives for our freedoms that we enjoy. We have on display here this morning some of those who have died after serving their country. It's a table of honor that we have behind me. General Sherman, Civil War fame, said this after the war. War is at best barbarism. Its glory all moonshine. It's only those who have neither fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and groans of the wounded who cry aloud for more blood, more vengeance, more desolation, more war. No soldier cries out for more. War is hell. To walk through it takes faith. It takes great faith. We can honor those who have battled in great adversity by learning from these men and women who have given their lives in this terrible ultimate journey of ultimate service to our country. What will we learn from them? And that's what I want to speak to us about. Now, when I use soldiers, understand I'm engraved. I'm an Army guy. It was always soldiers. But I mean soldier, sailor, airman, marine, coasties, okay? And you can really put in those who are standing up as firemen and police that step into those type of places. But what do we learn and what can we take into our lives from Memorial Day? And I hope you get an opportunity to go up to some of the cemeteries and honor those who have passed in service to our country. First thing we learn is sacrifice. It's something kind of alien to our society today, isn't it? But a soldier knows sacrifice. A soldier knows the price required to serve his commander, his nation, and his family. And it may require his life. What commitment? What cost? We read in 1 Peter 4:12, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you. This is Peter talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ. But a soldier knows the fiery ordeals from basic training until his death on the battlefield or in his soul after returning home. Sometimes when we think of our struggles and begin to feel sorry for ourselves, we need to remember the soldier, sailor, airman, marine, coastie, driving down a littered road in Baghdad or Kabul, not knowing when the next bomb will go off. Remember those who served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and all the unknown little battles that soldiers fought, laying down their lives for their buddies and our nation, and you and I. Can we be of that same steel and fortitude in our commitment and price paid in service to our heavenly commander, our community, and to the people that we love even here? In other gospel texts, Jesus says to count the cost of our following him, implying that there is a sacrifice to serving Jesus as we live for him in our words, disciplines, and actions. Can we do this from the time we meet him until our death, as soldiers do? What does following Christ mean? Of course it means salvation, relationship with God for all eternity. But it also means sacrifice. But it is a good, meaningful sacrifice. There is no greater feeling than to realize that your sacrifice made a difference. When we follow Christ and serve him, his will and purposes, we become fulfilled in our calling as his sons and daughters. You don't do it by just being casual, laying back, doing nothing. There is a sacrifice. It's not hard to tell which people are really fulfilled in Christ. They have that look and attitude of joy, even in the hardest times, because they've learned how to go through that hard, sacrificial time. And I want you to think of some of those you know that may have served in the military, whether they just went to basic training, or they served 4-year tour, 6-year, 8-year, 20-year, a life tour. There's sacrifice in that from those that are still alive. We learn sacrifice from those who died. But we also learn scarring. A soldier who gives his life knows scarring. You cannot lay down your life without scars. Some soldiers have carried the scars of their sacrifice for 40 to 60 years. I guess there's some that are 70 years now before they died. Every soldier exposed to combat and its carnage is affected for the rest of their lives, and it is part of their death. There are soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen in this room with scars that will lead to their early death due to stresses, due to injuries. The scars give you credibility as a soldier. The scars said you lived, you obeyed, you served, and you endured. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Learning to live healthily with our scars, wherever they come from war, combat, or poor health, or relationship losses, or job losses, and emotional wounds from others, they develop character, maturity, and wisdom that leads us to be the person that God wants us to be if we let him. But note what I said, though. Those who learn to live healthily with our scars is the requirement to mature. And how much is that worth? We learn so much through those things. We learn so much from that. You all have heard about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Those who suffer terrible tragedies and let it envelop them, leaving them emotionally, mentally, relationally, and spiritually dysfunctional from whatever trauma they experienced in war. Well, I guarantee you, as a pastor of 30 years, I have seen family members in the church, in the communities we've served, that have suffered these same PTSD issues. They struggle, and some of them keep living as in the present and in the future, directed and controlled by that past, those terrible scars. But there is also PTSG, post-traumatic stress growth, where the terrible scars that have come upon us, that made our lives just so challenging, they train us in another way as we learn to release them, release the old bitterness, let go of the pain and anguish of the wounds, forgive those who harmed us, and even bless those who cause us pain. This is a process, moving to health by not remaining in the quagmire of resentment. You know, there's no worse thing, if you remember those old World War II pictures where they're pushing jeeps and trucks through the 2-3 foot muddy ground that they have to get through. That's a quagmire that holds you back. That's sometimes what those injuries we've experienced are for us. They're quagmires. They hold us, keep us living in the past. A soldier can't continue to live there, nor can a follower of Jesus continue to live in that. It destroys us. It destroys our brothers and sisters, that old bitterness, that old stuff. So it's a process moving into health. Growth from the scars lets us have an awareness of the invaluable and beautiful things of life and the presence of God that we ignored or missed due to the busyness and drivenness of our lives prior to those traumatic events. For me, as a good priest, as a good army chaplain, I did a lot of good programs. I got a lot of little, they call it chest candy. Where is it? It's hidden under there. They give you all these ribbons for doing lots of things. But you know, it wasn't until I was finally stopped by some injuries and the things I've shared with you in the past that I could slow down enough to take time to hear from God, to walk in his presence. Because when you're walking out ahead of him, doing what you want to do, to serve God in great things, but you're not walking with him, what a thing we miss. We miss the whole purpose of us being here is to walk in his presence. And out of that presence, discerning his will, his leading, to do what we're called to do. Because of course we're called to service. But not out of our own choice, our own mind, but out of what he shows us. And this is where the challenge that these soldiers can have for us is you serve, you deal with scars in your life, but you don't let it stop you. You just have to learn to listen, hear from the Lord. Let him begin to work his healing process. It takes time. Those who've been injured over a long period of time, give yourself a long period of time to heal. But the journey still can be sweet. Growth from the scars lets us be aware of that which is beautiful and invaluable around us. And we want to remember those things. That's the gift that we learn from scarring, that soldiers who have died previously experienced those scars, but they had to keep moving on. But what else do we learn from a soldier who has died? And all these guys that we have up here, these are memories of different people. I know some are proud of their daddies and they bring the big pictures and others bring little ones. And we all have ideas and memories of those who are dear to us, brothers and sisters, parents, children who have paid the ultimate. A soldier knows the importance of the band of brothers and sisters. Many of the soldiers we honor today died in the presence of their brothers and sisters on their fields of battle, or in the field hospitals a little later, or back home surrounded by a group of brothers and sisters with whom they served. They were valued, they were cherished, and loved by the toughest group of people you can imagine. They faced war, they faced horrific things, and yet I have watched this close fellowship of soldiers on the battlefield and the retirement centers, and even the homeless vets whose lives are honored at Balboa Veterans Museum and Chapel. They stood with each other. They would hug each other. The Army, and it's the same in the Marines and Navy and Air Forces, we have something called battle buddies. No one is ever to be alone in battle. I had a battle buddy with me on every patrol, every mission, every place I went. I couldn't even go to the bathroom at times without my battle buddy. Kind of strange. In Iraq, we have seen these men and women hug each other and hold on for excessively long, manly hugs. I have to say that because we're men. Women could do whatever, but manly hugs because there was an intimate shared life in the service of arms. I have seen someone call in need and their brothers will go to them at a moment's notice, both in battle, both at the base and back home, to their families, to their gravesides. We can learn from these memorialized service members the preciousness of brothers and sisters sitting next to us here as we share this love that we have in relation to our service to Christ. Jesus said in John 15:13, you've heard this many times, greater love has no one than this, than that one lay down his life for his friends. Are we connected enough here in our family at St. Tim's that we would sacrifice ourselves for the other because we are connected in our hopes, our mission, and our love for each other in Christ? Military soldiers should not be the only ones. I have seen severely wounded brothers in the field hospitals because I would always go visit them. And the first thing they would say to me, chaplain, is get me back to my unit. Now, I knew they were being shipped home. They got the million-dollar wound, even if it was a bad wound. They were going home. But they did not want to go home because they did not want to leave the shared life of their brothers and sisters. These are the type of people that we honor on Memorial Day. And it's like to be in their presence is something, wow. But do we have the same passion to be with each other here? To get back to church when we've been taken away by business, travel, or other events? Will we respond to the needs of other families in Christ and come to help at a call? My prayer is that we can learn from these that we remember today and especially tomorrow, Memorial Day, for their sacrifice, for the model of enduring the scars of life that they went through and the value they placed upon caring for each other. I want to leave you with a story. And I was going to read a story about this Butch O'Hare. And Butch O'Hare was a World War II vet. He saved a task force of vessels. He was a flyer. Shot out the Japanese that were going to go destroy a task force, and he saved their lives. He ran out of bullets, got bumped, and he would end up running into Japanese airplanes, their tails, their wings, trying to knock them out. Discouraged them, they went home. He finally landed, and he was given, you know, the Congressional Medal of Honor, but we really honor him, sort of, when we go through Chicago O'Hare Airport. It's named after him, a real hero. But I want to share with you a good Episcopalian. His name is Captain Hill. And he was a guy who we'd sort of call the teddy bear. We were in an infantry unit. He wasn't a hard charging type, but his passion was, he was given civil affairs. That meant he went out to set up hospitals for care for women and young children, and he'd connect up with the leadership in the villages with the armed guard. But the people in the area and the bad guys got to know who he was. And he was on his way to setting up a place where we were going to distribute 3,000 backpacks and do medical care for the kids. And he's from Turlock, California. And he was in this vehicle carrying a trailer with at least 1,500 boxes and of different things that they would load into the backpacks. And the bad guys, the insurgents, knew he was what he was doing. They knew sort of who he was. And when he came down the road, they blew him up. And he died that day. He was what I call a hero. He got a Bronze Star for valor, for his engagement, for the things he had done. But what he had really been doing was caring for the Iraqi children, trying to make sure the women had good medical care, trying to bring peace to those that we were living around, risking his life, and he sacrificed his life in October of 2005. And his sacrifice modeled things for us. How we serve, how we endure hardship, how we persevere, and he valued all his soldier buddies. I mean, He was almost like a chaplain. He and I really got along well. We spent time together. He had this great heart. And this is the manner and type of soldier, sailor, airman, marine that has served our country for our protection in the midst of a crazy, terrible environment, not easily described. And yet here he served both us and those in Iraq. And I remember these guys, and maybe you remember these guys and gals like this that serve their country, and we are not to forget. For if we forget, we might end up going back to the same old things, walking into the same old wars. But what we can learn from their sacrifice is that we too can sacrifice. We can learn that we can work through the scars of our lives. Don't let them control you and defeat you. Let the healing take place. Do the process that brings that healing. Touch lives around you. And of course, there's no greater thing in the band of brothers, the fellowship of arms, and fellow soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, being together. And for us as followers of Christ, we have been blessed with each other. Let us learn from those who have given their lives. Let us learn from these. There's two priests listed up there in that group. Great guys who served the Lord, World War II and Vietnam. Great men, love the Lord. There are others that have served, both enlisted and officer, all the different branches. Let's remember them. Let's not forget. And so I ask that you take a moment in silence as you may remember somebody you know that served or somebody you heard about. Let us pray. Father, today we remember those who served their country and us. We keep in mind their sacrifice of their lives and limbs as they protected our nation. We ask you to bless the families of these men and women who committed their lives to keep our nation free and for us to enjoy the rich blessings of liberty that you have given us through their sacrifice. Let us never forget, and let us apply the lessons that we can learn from them in order to honor them. Lord, remember them now as we honor them this morning. We thank you for their service and dedication. In your name we pray. Amen.